Shabbat shalom again, and Shabbat shalom to anyone who may hear this message later. Got a beautiful day in the land of Yahweh over here in Israel, and just happy to be here. We were blessed with a lot of rain the last couple of weeks, but now we have a beautiful sunny day to be thankful for. The name of this message is called Hallelujah. I pray and hope it'll be very uplifting to you. I was very uplifted as I've been putting this together in the last days, and hope it will be a blessing to everybody here and anybody who may hear it later. I want to start in 2 Timothy, and I will be using the scriptures from the new scriptures that we are putting together, that Yahweh willing will be in print pretty soon, but that's the translation I'll be using today from the new translation. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5 says, "But know this, that in the last days disastrous times will be upon us. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, wicked, without natural feeling, addicted to lust, slanderers, without self-control, savage, haters of good, traitors, hasty, boasters, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of righteousness but denying the power of it, even turn away from these." And I would like to, you know, maybe as we start getting into Bible studies, go over each and every one of these in a Bible study. You know, because that's one of the blessings of being here in a community setting like this, that we'll have the time to really get into a lot of these things. And hopefully most of our focus is going to be on changing and what we need to do and how we can better be better servants to Yahweh. So you have a lot of things in here, and you look at this and you say, wow, here we are. You know, I mean, if Paul was writing this back then, how much more today, right? But the one I want to specify today that I want to talk about, and again, the name of the message is Hallelujah or Praise Yah, is ungratefulness. You know, ungratefulness. Because we're living in a world where it's just a natural thing. And all these things, I mean, we see it evident. You know, we see the men being lovers of self, the money, and all the other stuff. But the focus I want to go on today is about giving praise to Yahweh, being praiseful to Yahweh. If we go to Romans 8:28, scripture I'm sure all of us have used in times of trial, it says, "But we know that to the ones loving Yahweh, all things work together for good, for those being called according to purpose." But we know that the ones loving Yahweh, all things work for good for the ones being called according to purpose. And in the Greek, that word for purpose is actually the table of showbread, you know, the 12 tribes. So what he's saying here, it's he's saying that, you know, who are the ones that are called according to purpose? It's the tribes, Israel. Israel is called for a purpose. So for us who are called according to purpose, we know that all things to the ones loving Yahweh will work together for good. And I know sometimes as we're going through stress in life and trials in life, it's not always easy to remember that. But it's something that this scripture, not only ourself, but I mean millions of brethren around the world have banked on this scripture, and myself being one of them. So it's an important scripture to remember for that. You know, we have to keep that daily focus with Yahweh. Let's go to Mark 10. Because, you know, we started here reading about the end time and things in the end time, and I've said this many times in messages that, you know, in one way it's a great time to live because everything is being restored, and Yahweh willing, if the ones of us that are alive will be able to be here at Yeshua's return. But in another way, it's the worst time you could live in, you know, because there'll be more people lost in this generation than ever in the history of man. So if we go to Mark 10, I'll read verse 29 and 30. My battery is running down here. It says, "But answering Yeshua said, truly I say to you, there is no one who forsook house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the good news that will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the coming age eternal life." So it's a twofold scripture. On one end, it's a great scripture, you know, because it's not just saying, you know, a lot of times we always hear about the kingdom and we always hear about later, which is great. You know, it's like I always say the bumper sticker that I saw a long time ago. You know, that the ministers of Yahweh, the pay may not be good, but the retirement plan is excellent. So we all know that. We all know we're not living for this age. We're living for Yahweh's kingdom. But in another age, isn't it nice to see scriptures that say that if we make these sacrifices now, he's going to bless us. But we always have to remember those little two words there in verse 30 that say, with persecutions. So yes, you know, are we going to, he's saying a hundredfold he's going to give us in this life. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, you know. I mean, some of us have left our land, you know, and we're here in our homeland of Israel as sojourners. You know, this is not our land yet. It hasn't been given to us yet. But we're like Abraham, like a sojourner. But there will be persecutions, but in the coming age, eternal life. So we want to be thankful for the trials as they purify us and keep us humble and dependent on Yahweh. We always want to remember that. That every trial we have is for our good. It's something that helps us to get closer to Yahweh. And if we go to Hebrews 12, we'll read a little bit about that. I'll start in verse 1 of Hebrews 12. It says, "So therefore, we also, having a great cloud of witness lying around us, having laid aside every weight in the sin which does so easily beset us, through patience let us also run the race set before us, looking to the author and perfecter of our faith, Yeshua, who for the joy set before him endured the torture stake, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of Yahweh. Consider therefore how much he suffered from those sinners, for they were adversaries to their own soul, so that you do not become weary, fainting in your souls. You did not yet resist unto blood, striving against sin." And I mean, that's a scripture that's scary to me, because I know I want to fight sin. I know I want to get all sin out of my life, but I know I haven't gotten to that point, to the point of shedding of blood and fighting it in my own life. So I know I still need more to go. And he says, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks with you as with children or sons, saying, My sons, do not despise the chastening of Yahweh, nor faint while being corrected by him. For whom Yahweh loves, he chastens, and he disciplines every son whom he is pleased. If you endure discipline, Yahweh is dealing with you as with sons. For who is the son whom a father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are strangers and not sons. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, and we shall live? For they truly disciplined us for a few days according to the thing seeming good to them. But he for our profit, in order for us to be partakers of his holiness. And all discipline for the present indeed does not seem to be joyous, but grievance. But afterwards it gives back peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it." And I like in the Aramaic that they put here, in the King James, they put, if you're not chastened by Yahweh, you know, he disciplines every son he loves, and you are bastards. But in the Aramaic, they put strangers. And I think it actually brings a better meaning to it, because face it, although the sons of Israel is as the sands of the sea, only a remnant will be saved. So there's maybe a billion, maybe 2 billion Israelites out in the world today, but there's only a remnant that's sitting here in this room. And around the world, meeting in little congregations. It's not most of the Ephraimites. And it's not that every single human being today is called according to purpose, like we read in Romans 8. It's to the children of Israel that he called according to purpose in this age. And here it is, we were just like them out in the world. We were strangers. And that's what he's saying. If we're not disciplined, we'll just be like another stranger out there. You know, another one of these Israelites that are out there, like the sand of the sea. And that's a scary scripture. It's in Isaiah and it's in Romans 9. Only a remnant will be saved. So when we go through these trials, as hard as they are, you know, and there's some terrible trials. A very good friend of mine that I've known for many, many years. You might have heard me mention him in a letter, Mike Miller. You know, he had cancer and he just passed away recently. We just got the message yesterday. And went through a horrible trial. This man, like I said, making $150,000 or something a year and living in a one-room hotel room so he can give all his money to poor people. And he was here with us in Israel before. I don't know if you remember him. He was actually at the feast in 202. He was a big man with his wife, Jan. But just sad to see that the way he died and the suffering that he went through. But he never lost hope. He never lost hope. He was one of the most positive people that I've ever met, and a friend that I'll really, really miss, because it's important during those times of trial, I guess you could say, to have a voice of reason, to have somebody who can be uplifting, somebody who can pull you through it, because every one of us, when we're going through trials, it's not easy. You know, and sometimes our focus can get off when we're going through trials because we're going through hard things. And it's important to understand, though, that every trial is for the purpose of purifying us. If we go to Luke 17. And of course, like I said, because we are children of purpose, nothing is happening by happenstance to Yahweh's children. The trials we go through, the Father is allowing us to do it because He's purifying us. Every one of us need different things, and He knows better than we do what we need. So that's why we should be thankful to Him when He brings us through these trials. Luke 17 and verse 11, it says, "And it happened in His going to Jerusalem, even He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And He, entering into a certain village, 10 leprous men met Him, who stood from a distance. And they lifted their voice, saying, 'Yeshua, our Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said to them, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' And they were cleansed while they were going. But one of them, when they saw that he was cleansed, returned with a loud voice and was giving praise to Yahweh. And he fell on his face at his feet, thanking him. And he was a Samaritan. And answering, Yeshua said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? For what did they separate that they should come and give praise to Elohim? Only this man did, who is from a foreign people.' And he said to them, 'Rising up, go. Your faith has given you life.'" So, you know, amazing story. You look at this, you know, that these 10 lepers, and here it is, they're healed. But what does he say? Only one came back. And who's the one that comes back? A Samaritan. And, you know, it's sad when you look, us being the children of purpose. And I say, if you do a mathematical equation on this, for every true believer with the Spirit of Yahweh, there's at least 1, 2, 3 million people out there that don't have the Spirit of Yahweh. So when you really think about it, like I say, it's like hitting the lottery. People will talk about hitting the lottery. The odds of us sitting in a room like this with the Spirit of Yahweh are just unbelievable. You know? And I know sometimes if you're ever like in a big crowd of 50,000 people and your name was picked for a door prize and you won something, it would be so exciting, like, wow, you know, I got the door prize. But this is like, this is better than any door prize you can imagine. You know, that of all these 7 billion people in the world, what it is like that in a world now, especially the financial world, is crashing. Everything is going to pot. People are unemployed now by the millions, and you keep hearing every single day, it hasn't been like this since the 1920s, since the 1930s. And here we are. We have peace because Yahweh is with us and because He loves us and we understand His plan. And we know it. We knew this was going to happen. Like I said, listen to some of my tapes, read my things. I've been saying this for 3 years. You know, not because I'm smart, because it says it in the Word of Yahweh. And yet, I look at people in the world, and like this parable with the Samaritan, non-believers give more praise sometimes than the people of Yahweh. And I'll tell you, shame on us for that. Shame on us that non-believers that don't have the Spirit of Yahweh, that don't know His Word, that they'll read something in His Word to you, and they won't even know what it's saying. But yet, I've seen people have such faith sometimes, even go through cancer and horrible things, and say, you know, they might not know His name is Yahweh, they may call Him the Lord or whatever, but say, yeah, I trust the Lord, whatever His will is. And it's like, wow, and that's what really this parable is showing us, that we should be the most thankful, happy, appreciative people on earth. We really should be. And yet many unbelievers are more than we are. The world is too self-focused, and we feel we deserve things, always focusing on what we don't have instead of what we are blessed with. And I say, said this when I've given sermons on prayer, one thing each of us to ask ourselves in our private prayer closets, how much of our prayer time is spent asking Yahweh for things and complaining, and how much is spent on praising Him and thanking Him? That tells it all right there, you know? And like the parable of what Yeshua was saying about, you know, don't be like the hypocrites and, you know, be praying on the street corners. And it doesn't mean we don't get together and pray as a body of believers. We do. But our personal things, all of us, what our prayer life is, I don't have to sit here and tell you I'm so many hours a day in my prayer closet or whatever. That's up to each of us. But just think about it. And I ask myself this all the time, especially in times where maybe I'm going through trial. How much of my prayer is spent asking Yahweh for things and complaining, and how much is spent on praising Him and thanking Him? And we read the last time in Exodus 16, maybe I'll just reference it, I won't go there. Exodus 16, 2 through 8, where the children of Israel, when they were coming and griping against Moses, and what does he say? Well, your griping isn't against me, it's against Yahweh. So any situation you're in, no matter what it is, I'm telling you, some of you here have been in the Bible school before when we had the underground congregation. And I'll tell you, that class touches my heart because I've never been in a concentration camp. I've never been in a prison. And I don't know how I would react. You know, when I see someone like Richard Wurmbrand, that he said you get to the point that you just lose your mind. You can't remember anything. You're being tortured. You're in solitary confinement for years, going 3 years without seeing any light whatsoever. But he made something really interesting that he said. He said it's not enough to know the verse, you know, Yahweh is my shepherd. He said, you have to know Yahweh as your shepherd. The verse doesn't get you through anything. So the fact that I can memorize a Bible verse, that's not going to get me through that time. I have to know the one who wrote the verse. He's got to be real in my life. And I got to know him completely in order to be able to get through these things. So it's important that we realize that everything we're going through, Yahweh is doing it to purify us. Every single thing. You know, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and again, I'm absolutely amazed how when you look at the torture that some of these people went through, and every time they died with a smile on their face praising Yahweh, you know, that we don't have to live in fear. We don't have to worry about this or that or what's going to happen tomorrow, because Yahweh knows. He knows everything, and He's always going to be there for us. He's there through our trials, and He's there through our blessings. And He's always there for us no matter what. We must realize any situation we are in, Yahweh has put us there for our betterment and growth, and we must learn to be thankful for Him even in our trials. If we go to 2 Corinthians 11, we'll read a little bit about the Apostle Paul that to me is just an amazing, uplifting character because of the things that he went through. And I'm so excited to and can't wait till the resurrection to see Paul and see his excitement when he realizes how much his life made a difference in so many millions of believers through the ages. You know, it's one of the saddest scriptures I read is toward the end of his life when he's talking to Timothy and he's saying to him, all have forsaken me and nobody was even there with me when I went to prison and they all looked on their own thing. And there he is, you know, dying, not even realizing the impact of his letters that they were going to be for all those years. But look what he says here, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 21. He says, I speak according to dishonor, as if we have been weak. I say it in foolishness, but in whatever other men are bold, I am also bold. Now, if they are Hebrews, so am I. Are they Israelites? I am also. Are they Abraham's seed? I am also. Are they ministers of Messiah? I speak as a fool. I being beyond them, in labors more abundantly, in stripes beyond measure, in prisons much more, in danger of death many times. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one from the Jews. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was stoned once. I was shipwrecked 3 times. I have spent a night and a day in the sea in shipwreck. I have been in travels often, in dangers of rivers, in dangers of robbers, in dangers of my own race, in dangers from the Gentiles, in dangers in the city, in dangers in the wilderness, in dangers in the sea, in dangers among false brothers, in hardship, in toil, in sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, through much fasting, in cold and nakedness. Beside the things outside conspiring against me day by day, I have also the care of all the congregations. Who is sick and I do not feel the pain? Who is caused to stumble and does not have my heart ache sympathy? If it is right to boast, I will boast of the things of my suffering. The Elohim and Father of our Master, Yeshua Messiah, who is blessed forever and ever, knows that I am not lying. You say, wow, I mean, this is a book. This is like Fox's Book of Martyr put together in one guy's life. Can you imagine the things that this man went through? And now look at Philippians, what he writes. I mean, you would think if ever there was a guy who, you know, would be on the, not to be able to have praise in the right way, you would think with everything he went through. But let's go to Philippians 4 and let's look at what he says. Through all these things, what his answer is. He says, rejoice in Yahweh's always. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in Yahweh always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your humility be known to all men. Our master is at hand. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and by petition, with thanksgivings, let your requests be made known to Yahweh. You know, what does he say? By everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Not enough to just endure it, but we have to be thankful through it. We have to say, Yahweh, thank you for allowing me to go through this trial. Thank you for purifying me. Thank you for helping me. And the peace of Yahweh, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Yeshua Messiah. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. And again, in Bible studies, we'll go through these one by one and go through every virtue of this to see what are these things. What do they really mean? How can we put them in our life? But he says, and if any praise, think on these things. And what things you learned and received and heard and saw in me, practice these things and the Elohim of peace will be with you. But I rejoiced in Yahweh greatly that you have continued to care for me, just as you have always cared, even though you yourselves have not had enough. Not that I speak as to need, for I have learned to be content in whatever state I am in. And I know what it is to be poor, and I know what it is to be rich. I have gone through many things and experienced many things, both to be filled and to hunger, both to have plenty and to be in need. I can do all things through Messiah, the one giving me strength. That's one of the things we realize, you know, we don't want to go on our own strength. When we go on our own strength, that's where we may end up frustrated. But the key to praise is what he just said, contentment. The key to praise is contentment. There's no way that you can praise Yahweh from the bottom of your heart if you're not content with him in your life. And like I said, every one of us is different. Some of us are going to be rich. Some are going to be poor. Some are going to be blessed to have all these physical talents. Some are going to be blessed not to have physical talents. Some may be handicapped. You know, we have handicapped in our congregations. But the key is, in any condition we're in, and I always like to reference the movie The Robe, you know, that movie from 1954 with Richard Burton, and the woman in there who was crippled. And the guy who was the centurion who actually killed Yeshua, he comes into the village and he's trying to get the names of the believers to turn them in. But he's being convicted because the Holy Spirit's working with him. And he's seeing the little boy that was born, you know, crippled, and he's running around. And he's saying, well, how's he running around? And he's like, oh, he saw Yeshua. And then he gives the kid a donkey. And then the next day he sees the kid give the donkey to another crippled boy. And he's like, why did you give him that donkey? It's yours. He said he needed it more than I did. And it's like, wow. So then he's getting so frustrated because he's being so convicted. And he goes to the one woman who's still crippled. And he says, what about you? You saw Yeshua. Why didn't he heal you? And she said, he did heal me. If you would have saw my life before he came that day into our village. She said, I was bitter. I was angry. And for years I wondered, you know, why he left me this way. And she said, but if he gave me my feet again to walk, she said, everybody can praise him while they're walking. But to be able to praise him as a crippled and be so happy, that really shows him in my life. And it's true. It's true. Our contentment with who we are in Yahweh, the contentment of what he's given us. And that's the way the body is. You know, praise the Father. We haven't dealt in all my years in ministry with too much envy and strife. Very little bit. But you see it in the world, and you certainly see it in a lot of worldly congregations. People being jealous of, hey, he's an elder and I'm not, or he's doing special music and I'm not. But it's so important as a community of believers to know our spot in that body of believers. And that's why we go over our spiritual gifts. That's why we try to figure out where we can be the best servants to Yahweh in the body. I'm telling you, the key to praise is contentment. The key to praise is contentment. Thankfulness and praise is contentment. James 3 and verse 8. James 3 and verse 8. It says, but no one of men is able to tame the tongue. It is an unrestrainable evil, full of death-dealing poison. By this we bless Elohim, even the Father, and by this we curse men, having come into being according to the image of Elohim. Out of the same mouth goes forth blessing and cursing. My brothers, it is not fitting for these things to be so. Does the fountain out of the same hole send forth the sweet and the bitter? My brothers, a fig tree is not able to produce olives or a vine figs. So neither can a fountain produce both salt and sweet water. And it's so important. If we're doing two things, we're either praising Yahweh with contentment, or we're doing things against each other. You know, and we can't, if we're doing things against each other, then we can't say we're praising Yahweh. I can't come here and put down a brother or a sister and then go to my house and pray and say, oh, but I praise you, Yahweh. You know, because we're all one body. We're all connected to each other. We're all part of the same body. If we are discontent and complaining, then we're not praising Yahweh. The moment you stop being grateful, you give Satan an avenue for attack. Satan is the master complainer. He is never satisfied or content. If he can get you to focus on complaining, then you're not giving thanks. And that's what he tries to do. Because you want to know something? Just like the children of Israel in the wilderness, they had every right to complain. They hadn't had water for 3 days. They didn't have food. There was a right to complain. But on the other end, Yahweh was before them and Yahweh was behind them. So if that's the case, do we have a right to complain when Yahweh is there with us? You know, and I always say the only right we have is the right to die. Every one of us is a sinner, so every one of us has the right to die. That's the only right we can say to Yahweh. When we get before him, we can say, Yahweh, I'm a sinner. I have the right. Go ahead, take my life. Or by your grace and your mercy, by the blood of your son, thank you for your kingdom. But that's the only right we have before Yahweh. And again, if we're discontent, we give Satan that avenue. So even in things when we rightfully might be able to be discontent, you know, in the last few months, there's been quite a few things that I felt justified to be discontent, but it certainly didn't help my spirit. You know, it won't help your spirit. It won't help you to be in an attitude of praise. And that's why, again, we talked about it many times about reframing, you know, reframing the situation. Try to look for something positive in the situation or person or in anything so that we don't give Satan that in to attack our spirit. Because he's waiting there like we know, like a roaring lion. He's just waiting for it. Luke 18 and verse 9. Luke 18 and verse 9. It says, and he spoke this parable to some of those relying on themselves that they were righteous and despising the rest. Two men went up to the sanctuary to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee was standing praying these things to himself, saying, Elohim, I thank you that I am not as the rest of men, extortioners, covetous, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week. I tithe all things as many as I get. And standing at a distance, the tax collector would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast, saying, Elohim, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say to you, this one went down to his house having been justified rather than that one. For everyone exalting himself will be humbled, and the one humbling himself will be exalted. And it's like Yeshua's parable of the woman, you know, who came in and she's washing his feet with the hair. And the Pharisee's wondering, you know, why is he in the presence of this sinner? And then what does he say to her? Your sins are forgiven. He says, Simon, I have something to say to you. There was a creditor, and one owed 50 pence and one owed 500, and he forgave them both. Who will love him more? He says, well, I guess the one he forgave more. And what did he say? You know, since I came in here, she's been washing my feet with the hair, hasn't stopped. You haven't even given me water for my feet. That he who is forgiven much will have much love. And that's the key to it. If Yahweh resists the proud, he gives grace to the humble. And the way we get humility is realizing the fallen nature in ourself and realizing the need for him in our life. You know, the minute we start standing on our pedestal and saying, oh, you know what? Well, I live by the Ten Commandments and I keep the Torah and, you know, I have all these spiritual gifts and I'm a great speaker. I've fallen from grace. I've fallen from the grace of Yahweh. I can never forget where I came from. And I never want to forget where I'm going to. But it's so important. Yahweh resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That if we truly want to exalt him, if we truly want to praise him, if we truly want to thank him, it's got to hit us in here. There's got to be humility for what he's done in our life. There's got to be that humility. James 4. I'll just read 4 through 6. It says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship of the world is enmity with Yahweh? Whoever then purposes to be a friend of the world is an enemy to Yahweh. Or do you think that vainly the scripture says the pride dwelling in us lusts with envy? But he gives greater grace. Because of this, he says, Yahweh sets himself against proud ones, but he gives grace to humble ones. So wow, when we get lifted up with pride, you know, he's against us. He's fighting us. And not only can't we praise him, you know, it's like we've taken ourselves out of his presence when we do that. To be thankful, we must realize that Yahweh owes us nothing. We must realize our sinful nature and his mercy and grace that has freed us from our sinful nature and sin. So important. So important to daily meditate on this. And then, you know what? When you really meditate on it, you know, and we're going to read it here in a minute, where Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You can't help it. You don't even have to think about thanking him and praising him. It just will come out of your mouth all day long. The lower we put ourselves, the higher he exalts us. 2 Corinthians 12, 5 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 5 through 10 says, on behalf of such a one I will boast, but I will not boast on my behalf except in my weaknesses. For if I desire to boast, I will not be foolish, for I speak the truth. But I spare lest anyone reckons me to be beyond what he sees me or hears anything of me. And by the superabundance of the revelations, that I not be made arrogant, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan, that he might buffet me. That I not be made haughty. Beyond this, I entreated our master 3 times that it depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will rather gladly boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Messiah may rest upon me. Because of this, I am pleased in weaknesses and insults and dire needs and persecutions and distresses for the sake of the Messiah. For when I am physically weak, then I am spiritually strong. Wow. Wow, how much the focus, you know, that's why as a body of believers, you know, nobody should ever feel inhibited from sharing something about themselves, even if it's something like a trial they're going through. You know, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another. And we should never feel that we can't come before the body of Messiah and share a weakness to be prayed for. You know, we don't want to feel like somebody would feel like, oh, they're going to knock me down. They're going to hit me. They're going to attack me. They're going to accuse me. It should never be that way. Because if it is, then there's a weakness in all of us, if that's the case. Because again, we're as strong as the weakest link, as the body of Messiah. And just like Paul said, the ones where we think may be weaker are the ones we need to be exalting. So that we're all together using our spiritual gifts, using it the way he has it. But amazing, you know, that we feel that way. My grace is sufficient. You know, we've had good days and we've had bad days, right? But on the worst day that you can imagine, can you go home and really pray with tears in your eyes and a smile on your face and say, Father, your grace is sufficient to me? That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Because that's what comes every day. That's the thing. Because when we think we're being weakened, it's to strengthen us spiritually. You know, and that's why it frustrates me sometimes if a brother or a sister is sick or something, and other brethren will start, you know, what did they do wrong? What did so-and-so do wrong that he got sick? You know, as if, you know, every time somebody's sick, it means that they sin some way. And it's just not true. It's not what Scripture says. And, you know, sometimes the Father will allow weakness in the congregation or a sickness to get everyone to rally around that person. Like if we had a crippled person in here, you know, it would give us all a purpose to help that weaker person. Everyone. You know, and sometimes you need that. Sometimes you need a person in the congregation that's strong enough to be weak. Because I know something, if I was ever in a wheelchair, I'd have a hard time. I'd have a real hard time. Or if I didn't have hands. And yet I look at some people that are handicapped, people like Helen Keller, that deaf, dumb, and mute, and made her life to affect the lives of millions and millions of people even till today. And that's a strong person. That wasn't. That's not a handicapped person. Now, I look around a lot of times, I say, I'm the handicapped one because I'm fighting this and here every day. I'm fighting the mind. That's the handicapped, you know. But by his grace, we we get. But we want to make sure we get our focus that way. You know, I've said many times, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. And if we were in this room for the next month, boy, we would know every, just like when we were laying the floor, remember? And face it, none of us even thinking about, oh, this little thing over here. But while you're doing it, that's your focus. And you're watching every little tiny thing because that's what you're focusing on. And we want to make sure whatever we focus becomes most real, that the focus where we're making our reality is that what Yahweh has done in our life, the way he has saved us from ourselves, from our nature, and the praise given to him. Because that's the key to the changed person, is praise him. Hallelujah, praise him. Praise him in the courts and praise him, praise him, praise him. Let's go to some Psalms. And not going to be too long today. I just want to share. I read Psalms, I get so excited. I really do. It's so exciting to just read the words and I look at someone like David, you know. Man, what a man after Yahweh's own heart. And you ever think, why was he a man after Yahweh's own heart? You know, on one end he was a murderer and adulterer. That certainly isn't Yahweh's heart. But I believe he was a man after Yahweh's heart for two things. Number one, he truly had real repentance. When he did something wrong, it wasn't like Saul. It wasn't like, okay. No, I mean, his heart went out because he disobeyed Yahweh. And the second thing was, he praised Yahweh with all his heart. You know, when his wife was despising him because he's out there dancing and singing, and I'm a visual person, I could just picture it. I mean, when you saw King David, you know, you saw someone that their whole heart was given toward praising Yahweh. His Psalms, many times, I'll just pray and just read his Psalms. And I always say, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I try to give that same heartfelt that he gave when he was giving it. But Psalm 23, a Psalm of David. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Do we believe it? Now, I ask the people this at the school all the time when we go through this. Do we believe it? Is he our shepherd? Because you know something? I did a tape a while ago. You probably heard it on sheep and goats. But listen to that tape again. You know? Sheep are dumb animals. They really are. You could have a sheep, you know, and if a sheep realizes he's by himself, he'll freeze. He'll just freeze there and die. If that shepherd doesn't find him, he'll just die. Or a calf sheep. A sheep that gets too fat and then he rolls over, he'll just lay there and die. A sheep cannot survive without the shepherd. He just can't. And we say, Yeshua's the good shepherd. He is the door, right? He's the door to that shepherd pen. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. Do we realize every time we say something that we're complaining, we're saying we do want? And again, it doesn't mean, you know, there's valid things. Your toilet's broken. You know, it doesn't mean you can't fix it. Of course, we're not getting ridiculous. But the point is, if he is our shepherd, that means we're content in anything. We're content whether we're sleeping at the train station. We're content whether we're sleeping at the Taj Mahal. Like Paul said, whether I learn to be abound and I learn to be in base. It's so important. Because you know what? Whether you're sitting in this room, or you're tenting down the block, or you're camping at the Dead Sea, or you're staying in an apartment in Jerusalem, Yahweh's there with you. He's with you no matter where you are. He's there. So he's our shepherd no matter what. No matter what the situation is. Or if Yahweh forbid, but we know it's prophesied that some of the brethren will be in concentration camps in the end. Doesn't mean he doesn't go in that camp with you. Yahweh is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he will give us every single thing we need on a daily basis. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me to waters of rest. What is a green pasture? That means there's food. That means you're not hungry. You know, I mean this word. I grieve when I hear brethren say, I read the Bible a couple of times. It's just boring now. I'm like, huh? What are you kidding? I mean, I can read this thing 1,000 times, and every time I read it, either my memory's starting to go, but I feel like I'm reading it for the first time. I mean, this is what feeds us. This is his word. This is that green pasture. Whether it's Isaiah, whether it's Genesis, whether it's Revelation, Matthew, it doesn't matter what it is. Every time you read it, something is popping up. That's the green pasture he gives us. He leads us to waters of rest, living waters. You know, the Gihon Spring, the temple. He sits upon the waters, the living waters. It's life that he gives us through his word. He restores my soul. Just what we've been talking about here. He resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. Every day of our life, never let it, you know, there's days we're busy, there's days we're doing things, there's days you might be on an airplane, but never let a day go by that you don't thank him for restoring your soul. Never let a day in your life, because it's to our blessing that every day of our life we could thank him for restoring our soul. You know, I don't even want to think about where I would be if he didn't save me 25 years ago. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Who even knows if I'd be alive? But he restores our soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You know, how important. I just thank him every day. Father, thank you that you've revealed yourself, who you are. Your family name, the name of your son, thank you so much. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And every one of us has walked through that valley. Every one of us has gone through things that we feel like we're in this valley of death. And we almost feel Satan on our back. And yet what does he say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. My book, The Chosen People. I have the rod and the staff. Why? Because you need both. A shepherd has the rod because there's times you've got to discipline, you've got to hit. And we need that. That's what the Torah is. It teaches us right from wrong. You reap what you sow. But at times you need that gentle shepherd's staff. So he's got the rod and the staff. He's got both of them. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me before the ones vexing me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Do we feel that way? Do we feel like we're being so blessed? You know, I'm telling you, the Sabbath's going to end here in a few hours. I can't tell all the blessings, you know. It's just running over. Our cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh for days without end. Praise his name. Praise his name. Let's go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. 5 verses here. A praise of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the land. Worship Yahweh with gladness. Come before his faith with joyful singing. Know that Yahweh, he is Elohim. He has made us and not we ourselves, his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For Yahweh is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness to generation and generation. Amen. Psalm 106, 1 through 3. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise Yah. Give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Who can express the mighty works of Yahweh or cause all his praise to be heard? Blessed are those keeping judgment, he who does righteousness at all times. Psalm 135, 135, we'll read 1 through 7, drop down to verse 13, and then verse 19 through 21. Psalm 135. Hallelujah! Praise the name of Yahweh. Give praise, servants of Yahweh, those who stand in the house of Yahweh, in the courts of the house of our Elohim. Praise Yahweh, for Yahweh is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is delightful. For Yah has chosen Jacob to himself, Israel for his special treasure. For I know that Yahweh is great, and our Adonai is above all Elohim. Everything which Yahweh was pleased to do, he did, in the heavens and in the earth and in the seas and all the deep places. He causes the mist to rise from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. We sure saw that in the last few weeks. He brings the wind out of his storehouses, verse 12 and 13. And he gave their land as an inheritance to his people Israel. How much praise just to be here in his land. O Yahweh, your name endures forever. O Yahweh, your memorial is from generation to generation. Verse 19, bless Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Israel. Bless Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Aaron. Bless Aleph Tav Yahweh, O house of Levi. You who fear Yahweh, bless Aleph Tav Yahweh. Blessed be Yahweh out of Zion, he who dwells at Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Awesome. One more here, Psalm 138, a psalm of David. I will thank you with my whole heart. Psalm 138. I will thank you with my whole heart. I will sing praise to you before the Elohim. I will worship toward your holy sanctuary, and give thanks to your name for your mercy and for your truth. For you have magnified your word above all your name. You answered me in the day I called out. You made me bold in my soul with strength. All the kings of the earth shall thank you, O Yahweh, because they have heard the words of your mouth. Yes, they shall sing in the ways of Yahweh, for the glory of Yahweh is great. Though Yahweh is exalted, yet he looks upon the lowly. But the proud he knows from afar. If I walk in the midst of distress, you give me life. You send out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Yahweh will perfect his work in me. O Yahweh, your mercy endures forever. You will not forsake the works of your hand. How much to be thankful for that. That Yahweh, like it says, he will continue the work in us to the day Yeshua Messiah returns. And it's Satan the devil who wants us to believe we're forsaken. He wants us to believe that we can't do anything for the work of Yahweh. He wants us to believe that we're fruitless. And nothing could be further from the truth. Every single one of us that has the Spirit of Yahweh, he called us. And he's given us gifts from that Spirit to glorify him and to do his work. And I'm telling you, Satan cannot stand the praise of Yahweh. If you want to rid Satan out of your presence, praise Yahweh. He cannot stand the praise of Yahweh. I heard years ago a minister had told me, one way to know a demon is to ask him, is Yahweh fair? And the demon can't say Yahweh's fair. You know? And it's the same way. You know, I haven't done an exhaustive search, but I've been searching through the Bible whenever Satan or a demon was there, and I've never once seen Satan or a demon call Yahweh, Yahweh. Whenever there, it's with a Satan or a demon, it's always Elohim. Because he can't recognize the name of Yahweh, and he can't praise the name of Yahweh. And that's the thing, as a people, and I say this, you'll know a lot about a congregation and how they worship. The spirit of a congregation. It's not in the intellect. It's not in how much we memorize scripture. It's the spirit of Yahweh being present. It's how much he's being worshipped. And it's not just in a Sabbath meeting. It's every day of the life. And when you're living together, you find it out too. You know? And I believe in the long run, it will cause more growth. But, you know, it's iron sharpens iron. And it's so important. But praising Yahweh. Praising Yahweh. Over the last 10 years, leading the work of Yahweh from Israel has not always been easy. And, I mean, we could sit here and tell testimonies. We love to tell stories about it. But it hasn't been an easy walk, especially the first couple of years that, you know, we were here. We suffered many hardships, financial distress, sicknesses, discouragements, attacks from false brethren, disloyalty from others. And yet it's been the most wonderful, rewarding, blessed work that Yahweh could ever give to someone. And Petra can tell you, when we got here, I believe it was the year 2000, when we first got off the boat and came here, the first day we had about enough money for maybe 2 or 3 days in the hostel. And we met a lady the very day we'd never met her in our life before. And the lady said, Yahweh said to give you an apartment. I said, don't have money for an apartment. She said, no, you don't understand. My daughter is sick. This apartment is paid for the whole year. And it's dedicated to Yahweh. Nobody's there. And he said to give it to you. First day we ever met the lady. And that's the way our life has been on the walk of faith in his land over here for the last 10 years. And again, it's not always easy. Believe me, everybody knows it. You know, I mean, we tell stories of the blessing of only having to pay $7 a night to live in a hostel. And man, so many people coming to faith. But at the same rate, we're still going through the mold poisoning that we got. You know, my wife almost died for it. And I say, I think I can talk for her. Even through the suffering, even through the allergies, even through the hardships, I don't think we would ever, ever replace one day that we've been here. I mean, I consider it the greatest joy in my life. And I see it. I see prophecy being fulfilled. And I'm humbled by the fact that I look in prophecy in Ezekiel 36:38, and says that the sons of Israel will be keeping the feast here again, and Yahweh allowed me to be the one to organize it. It's humbling. And it's prophecy to be here, to be part of it. But it's not just me. I'm not saying it for me. I'm saying it for every one of us, that we're all part of the body of Messiah. You know, and he's calling us in this end time as pillars. Pillars in the sanctuary. You know? And that each one of us is a pillar. We don't even realize, the same way, like I said, when Paul was in prison, And he's dying and thinking, they all left me alone and I'm over here to die. He didn't have the foggiest clue for 2,000 years the impact that that was going to make. I'm sure of it. And the same way with us. We have no idea of the impact that our life is going to make in other people's life on a daily basis. We look through a glass half darkened, like Paul says. I mean, I wondered those first couple of years when we were here. It was like a dogfight. And Petra can tell you. Every day we were on the streets. Every single day, fighting. I mean, it was like fighting Christians day in and day out about the law. And I'd go home with tears in my eyes and say, Father, why did you bring me here? And then the feast would be coming those first few years, and there's like five people. And we're so excited. Five people that are like us. Five real brethren that are going to be coming to Israel. And then it just grows and grows and grows. You know, but you feel like, wow, we got backup. But every single day, you know, you're fighting these people over the door. And I said I got a kick out of it because, you know, in Israel, on Friday, everybody says Shabbat Shalom. So for 6 days, you know, you argue with these Christians and they're saying the Sabbath's done away with and we're saying not. But on Friday afternoon, you Shabbat Shalom them and he's got to Shabbat Shalom you back. It's custom. They got to do it, you know. So I used to get a kick out of that, though, you know, that they'd be arguing with me there and trying to show me why it's done away. But then Friday afternoon, it's like, Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Only in Israel. Only in Israel. We have every need that we could desire right here, right now. We're sitting in Yahweh's headquarters in Israel. We've been blessed to be the pilgrims and pillars for the greatest work that is yet to come before Yeshua returns. How much should we thank him daily for this? Each one who is a part of the work of Yahweh is blessed to be a pillar and a foundation stone in the house of Yahweh. And I'm just going to end in Romans 8, because I think it's a very, very uplifting scripture and a good way to end in Romans 8, starting in verse 31. Romans 8 and verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If Yahweh be for us, who can be against us? I think sometimes we forget that. Sometimes it's, you know, we going through something and we forget that if Yahweh is for us, who can be against us? And like he says, if we let him fight our battles and not our own, most of the time it will work out much better and much quicker. Truly, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up on behalf of us all, how will he not freely give all things to us with him? Who will bring any charge against Yahweh's elect? Yahweh is the one justifying. Who is he condemning? It is Messiah who has died, but rather also is raised, who also is at the right hand of Yahweh, who also makes intercession on our behalf. Who shall separate us from the love of the Messiah? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Even as it has been written, for your sake we are killed all the day. We are counted as lambs for the slaughter. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him loving us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor cherubs nor rulers, nor armies, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other thing created will be able to separate us from the love of Yahweh and Messiah Yeshua, our Master. And I think during these times that we go through when we might have stress in our life, it's so important to go to the scriptures and be reading them. The Psalms, you know. Hopefully I'd like to set up where we're going to be having at least once a week, just strictly prayer sessions as a people, you know, that we can pray for different things and, you know, grow by that. And but so important, you know, that's one of the reasons why I love the old Church of God hymnal. You know, if you look at that hymnal, every one of those songs is just a psalm. It's just the psalm put the music. And a lot of them are beautiful. You know, I mean, there's a lot of other beautiful music and messianic music I love too. But I think it's so awesome just to be able to read the psalms and sing them. You know, we know they're all vowel pointed. You know, they sing them in the synagogues, you know, all the time. And it's just a beautiful thing. So I pray that as I was doing this, I find these kind of studies just exciting to me. You know, as I'm doing them, I'm excited as I'm in the Word. I'm excited to share it with the brethren. I'm excited because it really helps to keep the focus on the right thing. And really, more than anything, I mean, I shame myself sometimes that I say, wow, I'm not praising Yahweh enough. I'm just not praising him enough. And that's why to get my focus on that and get back to praising him through all things, Hallelujah. Praise the name of Yahweh.